My guest at this time is Heather McDonald. She is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She is also the author of The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. Back in April, we spoke to Ms. McDonald about her visits to UCLA and Claremont McKenna College. Students at both of those places made it virtually impossible for her to speak, and it got especially bad at Claremont McKenna College, where a group of students even ended up chanting, F the police. The college has now handed punishments out for a few of the students involved, and we want to get Heather's reaction to the discipline. And Heather, thanks so much for being with us.
Always a pleasure talking to you, Greg. Thank you.
Well, late last week, the college, Claremont McKenna College, released a statement explaining that on the evening of April 6th, as you obviously well know, a group of approximately 170 individuals from the Claremont colleges and others outside our community organized, led, and executed a blockade of the Athenaeum and the Kravis Center. They breached the perimeter safety and security fence and campus safety line and established human barriers to entrances and exits. These actions deprived many of the opportunity to gather, hear the speaker, which was you, and engage with questions and comments. Goes on to say the blockade breached institutional values of freedom of expression and assembly. It also violated policies of both the college and the Claremont colleges that prohibit material disruption of college programs and created unsafe conditions in disregard of state law. They initially identified 12 students as potential participants in the blockade out of the 170 that were mentioned before. Three of those were ultimately found not responsible for any violations. In the end, there were seven who were punished. Three students got one-year suspensions, two received one-semester suspensions, and two were put on conduct probation. So what was your reaction late last week, Heather, when you heard that news?
Well, I'm gratified that there's, for once, some discipline with teeth, unlike in Middlebury. Suspensions, true academic suspensions, are serious punishment. You know, that's going to show up on a student's record. You know, there's been a whole lot of complaining about this, that this is a function of racism, of course, on the part of CMC. That having been said, and I have no reason to think that Claremont McKenna did not proceed in good faith here, it's a very small number of people who have been punished. Five receiving suspensions is, my guess is, much less than people who were actually complicit in the blockade. There's no explanation by Claremont how they reached that number and whether it's because they didn't have evidence for other people or not. So it's a mixed bag. On the one hand, it's much more serious punishment that has been meted out to date, but at Middlebury, where Charles Murray was also prevented from speaking and there was violence against a liberal professor who had invited him, there was dozens of students disciplined, but the discipline meted out was much less. So it's kind of you have to sort of take one part of it is good and the other is slightly more questionable.
So there's obviously some tension there, as you mentioned. Obviously, there could have been more potentially discipline for this, but compared to elsewhere, it is significantly more severe. So, Heather, obviously, given what happened to you and has happened to a few others in academic settings on campuses in recent months and even years, it's highly unlikely that all of a sudden your message or other messages that aren't generally welcome on campus are going to suddenly be embraced. So how do you expect colleges to respond from here? Do you expect more crackdowns, or do you expect speakers like yourself and others to simply not be invited?
Well, that's the key question, Greg. And no, I don't expect anything to change because the colleges are not willing, including Claremont McKenna, are not willing to address the root cause of this type of totalitarianism. And that's the racial victimology that they promote. Ironically, the Claremont McKenna statement said that it was calling on its faculty to try and help us understand how to mitigate the forces that divide our society. Well, what divides our society is precisely this preposterous idea that to be a minority student at an American college today is to be the victim of oppression. And CMC, every other college, has vast bureaucracies dedicated to that proposition. Students that are brainwashed with that idea in college are going to go on into American society unable to see the opportunities that are available to them with a big chip on their shoulder, and we're going to see racial tensions and possibly even racial violence continue.
There's one thing that tends to carry some weight at virtually every college campus, and it's green, and it has numbers and pictures of founding fathers on it usually, and that's money. When I don't know if that was a factor at Claremont McKenna College, but I know there's been some alumni donation levels drying up at places like the University of Missouri, fewer applications for incoming students and so forth, and so some places have suffered financially as a result of this. Do you think that will ultimately bring back a more reasonable tone on campus, or is the horse too far out of the barn for that?
It could, but it would take alumni waking up across the board. They have to. It's wonderful and philanthropic to give money to your alma mater, and I understand the desire to give back to an institution that you think helped you out in life, and that's to be applauded. Nevertheless, alumni have to wake up and realize that colleges have been taken over by a extremely destructive and counterfactual ideology, and if there were a really significant number of alumni who were willing to say no more, that would make a difference. And you know, we have seen that at University of Missouri. Now, whether they're going to fire their diversity bureaucrats, I don't know. You know, it's a real tension because by now the universities have been really taken over by this left-wing zealotry, and I'm not even confident that a drop in alumni donations would lead them to say, okay, no more of this nonsense.
We're talking with Heather McDonald of the Manhattan Institute. Her book is The War on Cops. And Heather, obviously these two instances that you dealt with in April have gotten a lot of attention, but you're invited to speak in a lot of different places. While perhaps not necessarily agreeing with your position, what's the reaction at a typical college campus? Is this the outlier, or is this becoming more the norm?
Well, the UCLA and Claremont McKenna instances were the most violent and sort of fascist, totalitarian in their efforts to not just silence me, which I can deal with, but to prevent other students from hearing me. And at UCLA, I was able to get through the main body of my remarks about policing. It was afterwards that the leftist activists tried to shut the thing down for the question-answer period. But in other places, students have sat and let me finish and asked questions. So it's sort of all over the map. But I think that we should never underestimate the extent to which student protests are a fad. And if this becomes, and it is, the best way at present to demonstrate your moral superiority and your side, you know, siding with the social justice warriors, we're going to see more of it.
Heather, just a couple minutes left in our conversation, and whenever we have this conversation, I don't want to end it without discussing the role of administrators here. And on the one hand, you've got this statement, which sounds really good, about protecting institutional values of freedom of expression and assembly. We're not going to disrupt presentations and free speech and that sort of thing. Yet at the same time, when the students rise up lately, it seems like they generally try to find a way to accommodate those supposed grievances, whereas a generation or two ago, they might nod at you and say, okay, thanks for your opinion, now go back to class. So what happened to administrators here, and do you expect them to have a stiffening spine based on what you've seen at CMC?
More than a few generations where that administrators had spine. I mean, ever since the 60s, they caved in then in a very, very bad way, and they've been absolutely cowards since then. No, I do not expect it to get better. In fact, the president of CMC, Hiram Chodosh, in earlier protests in 2015 of the fall, 2015 in the Black Lives Matter protests that were sweeping campuses inspired by the ridiculous University of Missouri threatened athletic boycott. There was a protest against a dean of students at Claremont McKenna based on a completely overblown, trivial email that she had sent that was poorly worded but extremely well-intentioned. And the students made their usual claim that at Claremont McKenna, which is one of the best endowed colleges in the country, filled with well-meaning adults, compassionate, tolerant, these minority protesters demanded the dean's ouster and claimed to be oppressed by Claremont. Again, this is ludicrous, Greg. There is no more privileged position on American campus than in society today than to be a student in an American campus. Well, President Chodosh did not defend his faculty or administrators from this specious, preposterous charge that minority students were oppressed by the faculty and administrators. And after the blockade of me at Claremont, I asked Chodosh, have you defended your faculty against this charge? And he never responded. Instead, they created one of these silly safe spaces for students, which just plays into this very dangerous ideology of victimhood.
Last question for you, Heather. Obviously, it's pretty quiet on campuses right now. It's summertime, not a lot of students, not a lot of protests, not a lot of speakers. So obviously, once we get to right around Labor Day and moving forward for the next several months, that'll pick up again. You've already explained why you don't think things are going to get much better. In fact, they're going to get worse probably as time goes on. What will you be looking for as this gets ramped up again in this new academic year to see just how toxic it is?
Well, I know that Ben Shapiro has had problems already at Berkeley. I am so pessimistic about the state of the universities and their betrayal of their mission to cultivate and curate Western civilization that I'm not looking for much improvement. It would be great if at the next time there was a boycott, an attempt to silence a speaker, that the faculty actually put their bodies on the line, got out there and said, you will not shut this down. It's nice to sign little principles of support for free expression, but if you're missing in action when these things happen, they're not very meaningful. So, you know, if I see that start to happen, I would think that maybe there's going to be some turnaround. But we're fast approaching a critical mass where you have faculty, the majority of faculty, are themselves perpetrating this idea that speech that student from a favored victim category finds disagreeable is itself a form of violence. And so you have very influential faculty actually justifying even the use of violence against speakers, like it happened at UC Berkeley against Milo Yiannopoulos. There were two faculty at Berkeley in an email chain that were dismissing the anti-fa black bloc fascists as doing just what was necessary and in a very nicely surgical manner of trashing buildings and creating fires. So things are really bad, and parents have to be on their guard against what's the brainwashing that's going to hit their students, not that it will be for the first time, because high schools and even elementary schools are getting into the victimology business now. But, you know, you've got to fight back against it and give your children alternative sources of knowledge.
Heather, we'll have to call time there. As always, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Heather McDonald is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She's also the author of The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.